He's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller. Live from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo Sports Leader. 106.5 The Ticket.
Now to Zuboff. A wrist shot. Broder, the save. Oh, an acrobatic save by Broder.
Face Off, the hockey show features the Red Wings, Walleye, Falcons, and high school hockey each week on the longest running specialty sports talk show in the area.
10 seconds of the game. The Devils are storming around the net, and they score! Peter Sikora, 18 seconds in.
Face Off, the hockey show is brought to you by
Tam O'Shanter, the place for hockey in Northwest Ohio.
It's still loose. Rebound, they score! Claude Lemieux on the backhand!
Now, let's go live to the loft at Tam O'Shanter. Here's 106.5 The Ticket's Mike Miller.
Ralph Mahalik. Again, Face Off the Hockey Show, year number 18. Bob Duff will join us at 6:15 tonight, longtime author, longtime beat writer for the National Hockey League and the Red Wings. Has a book out now with Ken Daniels, the play-by-play voice of the Red Wings. If those walls could talk, obviously stories about Ken Daniels and his career put together with Bob Duff. That's the book. Maybe a great gift idea there for the Red Wing fan and your family. Red Wings play tonight, by the way. They're 13-13-7. They're in Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. They're on an Eastern Seaboard road swing. So, again, Bob Duff at 6:15 tonight. High school hockey just getting underway. 6:35 tonight. Well, the guy, if you want to know about high school hockey in this area, Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan, Matt Crandall will join us here tonight on Face-Off, the hockey show. Again, glad to have you on board. Jim Cushman's back at the studios. You know, I started Drive Time tonight, and I know a lot of the younger listeners don't remember this guy, but we lost part of the Toledo hockey community this morning. His name was Dino Moscato. He played for the old Blades and the Hornets. He was 85 years of age, as tough as they come, but a true gentleman off the ice. In fact, one time with the Hornets was an interim coach. He won a world amateur championship while playing in Canada, beating the Russians a few years back. And again, as tough as they come. And, you know, before Tanner Dini and before, you know, Perillo and before Mike Greeter, of course, who we look at his jersey every time we do a show here from Sylvania, Tam O'Shanter, maybe one of the most popular players to play in Toledo, Dino Moscato. We lost him again at 85 today. He was on the Toledo Hockey Hall of Fame ballot. And again, Dino Moscato, our hearts go out to his family. Saw Dino over the years. In fact, his daughter didn't live too far from where I lived, and his son-in-law I got to know a little bit. He will be missed. He has not been in good health, or was not in good health for, well, a couple of months. So again, the passing today of Dino Moscato from the Sioux Lookout, Ontario area. Providence Reds in the American Hockey League, and spent a lot of time down on One Main Street, the old Toledo Sports Arena. Red Wings, as I mentioned tonight, in Philadelphia, coming off a big win against the New York Islanders 6-3. But if you look at the National Hockey League standings, again, this is going to be an uphill climb for the Red Wings. You know, we had Rod Beard on earlier, the Pistons tonight in Dallas. We were talking about the inconsistencies of the Pistons. They start the year, they won 5 straight, had a couple wins, couple losses, then they lost 7 straight, then they won 3 straight. You know, that's kind of been the MO of the Detroit Red Wings as well. You know, looking for consistency, and for consistency you need good goaltending. So that has not been part of the equation. Walleye taking on Indy after Christmas on the 27th. Back with Bob Duff after this. This is Face Off, the hockey show.
6-5 The Ticket.
Rink number one, Face Off the Hockey Show, year number 18, by the way. High school hockey season getting underway here this weekend in earnest, 6:35 tonight. Matt Crandall will join us. You want to know about anything about high school hockey in the Toledo area? Matt knows. We'll see who's the teams to beat, what players to keep an eye on. Matt Crandall at 6:35. Rod Beard on Drive Time joined us from Dallas for the Pistons tonight, taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Pistons have won three straight after a seven-game losing streak. Joining me now, haven't talked to this guy in a while, but a contributor for years on Face Off, the Hockey Show, author Bob Duff, longtime beat writer as well for the Windsor Star. Bob Duff joins. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, I've never stumped you on it. We've had a lot of conversations over the years in press boxes, and I don't want to age ourselves here too much, but I don't think I ever brought up a player's name that you did not at least hear of or know where he came from and played. But Toledo lost a part of their hockey community today, 85 years of age, spent time with the Providence Reds in the American Hockey League, also spent 4 years here in Toledo with the Old Blades and the Hornets, took over as an interim player coach at one time, as tough as they come, and won a world championship. This is where I thought maybe your connection might fit in here, with the Penticton Bees when they beat the Russians for the amateur world championship. And we lost to Dino Moscato here this morning in Toledo. And I didn't bring you on to stump you on a somber note there with Dino. We're going to miss him. But with your background and for how long you've been covering this game, did you ever hear of him?
Well, in fact, I took a course in university, the history of Canadian sport, and I did my term paper on the Soviets coming into the World Hockey Tournament and how it impacted things and the whole political aspect of it. And it was built around the Penticton Vs, because after the Russians won the 1954 title, the Allan Cup champion Vs were sent to regain Canada's honor the following year and thumped the Russians 5-0.
I knew I couldn't stump you. A member of that team, Dino Moscato, and Toledo went here, and as tough as they come, as I remember, and did see him play a little bit myself. We lose him today at 85, and when I was looking over his career here, I read about the Penticton Bees, and obviously Bob Duff, the author and hockey information man that we very rarely stump, heard of a team that Dino played for, and our hands and thoughts are with Dino and his family here tonight. Hey, the book, by the way, if these walls could talk, of course, with Ken Daniels, the play-by-play man for the Red Wings and Fox Sports Detroit, along with you, wrote a book, and it's the holiday season. And tell us a little bit about it without giving the whole thing away.
Well, it's, as the title says, if these walls could talk, it's basically stories through Ken's eyes from his 20 years of work as the play-by-play man for the Red Wings, and even back to prior to that when he was with Hockey Night in Canada, and before that when he was the radio voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there's quite a lot of stories in there in almost 30 years, and one of my favorites was one of his first ones when he wasn't even a play-by-play guy yet. He was just a news reporter for a radio station in Toronto. And he called up Maple Leaf Gardens looking to get an interview with Harold Ballard, and Harold Ballard answered the phone.
Oh, geez.
And he said he'd like to get an interview with Harold Ballard, and he says, "Speaking." And he explained who he was, and Ballard said, "Come on down, I'm at the garden." So Ken went down, and he sat, as he told it, in Harold Ballard's bedroom, basically. He had an apartment off the bunker that he and King Clancy would share to watch the games at the Gardens. And he said Harold was wearing a Hamilton Tigers jersey and a pair of boxer shorts, and that was his first encounter with Harold Ballard. And just can't imagine an NHL owner today doing that.
No, that is, that says it all about that era. You know what? I watched a ton of games over the years with my rabbit ears from Maple Leaf Gardens with King Clancy and Harold Ballard, Bob, sitting up there in the corner. Did not know that was also an apartment for Harold Ballard as well. If that's a sample of the book, should be a good one. And I'm sure all the usual places, Barnes & Nobles and Amazon. Name of the book, again, Bob Duff and Ken Daniels, If These Walls Could Talk. So if you're looking, like I was today, for a last-minute gift item, keep that in mind. Speaking of the Red Wings, Bob, they're 13-13-7. They go into Philadelphia tonight. coming off a big win against the Island last night, 6-3. Looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference today, this is going to be a long uphill battle with this Red Wings club. Tell me a little bit about it. I understand you're not there still, I think, over there more than I probably know, but any observations on this year's edition of the Red Wings?
Well, I think they're very similar to last year's team, maybe a little bit better defensively with Trevor Daley coming in. He's certainly been a strong addition, and a guy that's kind of quietly played well that nobody talks about and certainly nobody wants to admit among the Red Wings fan base is Jonathan Erickson has played very steadily for them. One of the things he mentioned is the team has a full-time chiropractor this year, and he's got chronic hip problems, and he said the chiropractor's been able to give him relief from the chronic pain that he dealt with the last couple of years, and he's noticed a big difference in his mobility on the ice and just his ability to play the game. And you know, he's playing in the top pairing with Daley, and they've done quite a good job at shutting down the other team's best players for the most part. So that's been a factor. Certainly Jimmy Howard's been very solid in goal for the most part, and but the problems they had last year were scoring goals and getting to the net. And now, how many years have we heard about the Red Wings being too cute with the puck and not going to the net and, you know, scoring the dirty goals? It's a constant harping from Jeff Blashill to get them to do it, and they just don't seem to. I don't know if it's they're not physically able to do it because they are not the biggest group of forwards out there, or they just don't want to, but it certainly is a constant refrain from Blashill that they've got to do that more, and they always seem to get away from it.
No, they do. There's no doubt about it. The game's changed. You and I come from an era with the likes of Bobby Hall and guys, you know, scoring off the wing. That is not the game anymore. If you're not going to the dirty areas in this era, you really are going to have so. I mean, you go back to Holmstrom, and that's probably it. The last time they did that on a nightly basis, by the way. How about Larkin, Mantha, and I guess Abdelkader and Nyquist and Tatar are the guys that they're relying on the score. Any observations from that group?
I think Larkin has certainly rebounded strongly. He's really learned how to be a center. He really struggled last year with the defensive responsibilities of the position and at the NHL level. And I think part of that was he kind of got thrust into a role he wasn't ready for when Pavel Datsyuk left. All of a sudden, you needed Dylan Larkin to be the number two center, and I don't think at his age he was ready to fill that role. But you can see he certainly spent a lot of time in the weight room in the summer because there's a lot more definition to his upper body than there was his first two NHL seasons. He's a competitive guy. He wants to be the best, and I think he's just dedicated himself this year to taking that next step, and certainly he's shown it. As far as Mantha goes, I think we're seeing the same issues they had with him last year. And as I've been told by scouts who watched him since he was a teenager, have always been issues with Anthony Mantha is that he takes nights off. He disappears. He comes by, you know, he gets hot and has three or four really good games, and then you don't see him for six games. And that's been an issue certainly with him. And right now he's not delivering much offensively.
No, I got to tell you what, he went on a little bit of a run there. Bob Duff joins us here in Face Off the Hockey Show, and has a book out with Ken Daniels now. Great gift idea here, just to, you know, a few days away from Christmas, if these walls could talk. And, you know, it almost seemed like he had things going in the right direction. How many times have you seen this, or have you written about this, about guys that all of a sudden, what's the old saying, you know, you can't, a leopard doesn't lose its spots. I hope that's not the case for Red Wing fans. Anywhere's for Anthony Mantha. Hey, you know, I'm looking at the standings today, Bob, in the National Hockey League. Tampa's got the most wins in the league with 24, and lo and behold, the team with the second most wins, the Las Vegas Golden Knights with 22. Listen, this is a different setup when it came to expansion, but don't, boy, what a job George McPhee did. What a buzz in Las Vegas. Any thoughts on quote-unquote, an expansion team that's leading the division and has the second most wins in the league?
Well, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner because McPhee insisted at the start of the year when they got hot and got that early streak going that no matter what, they were sticking with their plan, and that, you know, as the deadline approached, they were going to look to move their veteran guys to build for the future. But if you're in a playoff spot. Can you do that? I mean, how do you tell your fan base, yeah, we could make the playoffs, but we're going to choose not to? I mean, they pretty much, you know, in the short term, it's going to be good for them, but you wonder long term, you know, when they had this plan to draft these guys that they knew they could trade to get assets, and now all of a sudden the team's better than they expected it would be. Now you've got a real quandary there because, you know, if you think back to teams like Florida, for example, who made the Stanley Cup final in their third year with, you know, a similar group of veterans and a really quality goalie in Van Beesbrouck. But in the long term, did that hurt them? Because, you know, expansion teams kind of have to be bad for a few years to get those high draft picks, to get the star players that they can build around. And, you know, you wonder, you know, and again, I say in the short term, this is great for Las Vegas, but in the long term, is it going to do the franchise good or bad?
And I got to tell you, I've known a few people, talked to a couple people, Bob, that have been out there, and they say the buzz in this building is just absolutely incredible. These aren't casual observers either, people that's been in and around the league for a long, long time. You covered Gerard Gallant when he was in Detroit, and that firing, of course, in Florida. What a situation that was. I mean, just absolutely brutal. And was in Columbus when I was down there for a year as well. Tell me about Gerard Gallant. Loved him as a player with the Red Wings. And, you know, it's going to be hard to tell him, hey, listen, we're going to trade half your guys right now, knowing his personality. I mean, he's a guy that, like any coach, is competitive and wants to win.
Yeah, I think Gerard is exactly what he looks to be, just a straight shooter, an honest guy, a hard worker, a guy that knows the game. And, you know, you look at his record, and he's won everywhere. And he won in junior hockey. He went to a Memorial Cup. He's won in the pros. You know, Florida firing him may be one of the most colossal mistakes in the game in the last 4 or 5 years, because that was a guy that had that team headed in the right direction. They have just been a disaster since they got rid of him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Speaking of coaches, and he's been a guest of this show, and Jeff Blashill, what do you think about his future with the Red Wings? And we'll take it a step farther. Ken Holland, you can't pick up a paper any place, the Detroit News, the Free Press, or any of the Canadian papers online without reading about folks writing and talking about their futures. What's your take?
Well, the thing about Blashill is he's got another year after this year. So people who think he's going to get fired during the season, I just don't see that happening, because Ken Holland's in the last year of his deal. If he's not going to be the GM next year, the new GM's going to want to bring in his own coach, you have to assume. So if you replace Blashill now, and then the new GM wants to replace whoever you bring in, all of a sudden you're paying three coaches next year, and I don't think Chris Ilitch wants to put that into the ledger books to have three coaches on salary. So I think Blashill's definitely there at the end of the season. Now, if you get a new GM, if Ken Holland is done after this year, then it's anybody's guess, because the new GM generally wants his own guy behind the bench. So, you know, it will depend on if they promote from within, should Ken Holland depart, or get kicked upstairs, whatever happens. And, you know, they may give Blashill one more year, and I think a lot of it will depend on how the rest of the season goes. If they miss the playoffs again, then I would suspect more than likely we'll see a change.
You know what, Bob, you're talking right to the heart of Red Wing country here. Is there any way that, you hear it all the time, Steve Yzerman back to Detroit, is that a possibility?
I don't see it. He's got a great setup there in Tampa. Jeff Finnick gives him whatever he wants. You look at that talent base he has there, that young group of core players, that's going to be a good team for a long time. And why would you want to give that up to come to a place, you know, with, let's face it, that immediate future does not look very good. It's going to be a long, painful rebuild, I think, for the Red Wings. And there's also the whole legacy thing. You look around, whether it be Bart Starr in Green Bay, Bobby Clark in Philadelphia, legendary players generally don't fare well when they move into management of the team they starred for. It's just a bad recipe. It's just, you know, they've been such icons, and then to try to run the show and be the lightning rod for the criticism, you know, it can destroy a legacy pretty quickly.
No, it can. It's funny. I was talking to a Philadelphia scout. You probably know him. I see a lot of him. I've known him for years, Dennis Patterson. And Philadelphia scout, his take on this whole thing was, you know what? And I have to laugh. He says, the only difference between Philadelphia and New Jersey was we never had a goaltender in Philly, and we're still looking for one. And there's a lot of truth to that one as well. Hey, before I let you go, again, going up and down the standings today, really took a close look at this. What's going on in Edmonton with Connor McDavid? Can you put your finger on that?
Well, I think they were a young team that had success probably before they expected or were ready for it. And now, you know, they're kind of, you know, sometimes that can be a double-edged sword. It'll be interesting with Toronto going hot this year. You know, what are they going to be like next year? Because, you know, it's one thing when nobody expects it from you. But now, after what Edmonton did last year, and especially what they did in the playoffs, everybody's ready to play them this year. You know, it's like, it's a different world when people look at you that way, and you've got to bring your A game every night. And they're not sneaking up on anybody this year. And, you know, you also have a situation last year where a lot of guys had career years. Cam Talbot was sensational in goal last year, and this year he hasn't been as good. And, you know, that's, you don't have your goaltending, and it doesn't really matter what you're doing anywhere else.
Hey, you know a little bit about goaltending, and I saw a guy last year and got to know him, even though I'd had him on this show for years. I actually remember when he played in the National League for Washington, even going back to Dayton in the old IHL. The goaltending in Detroit, Howard's been pretty good. Mrazek seems to be going the other way. How important, like a Jimmy Bedard in Detroit that won and had guys winning, from Chris Osgood to a lot of other folks, how much credence do you put in goaltending coaches?
Well, I think there's a lot of importance to it, because I remember talking to Gump Worsley many years ago, and he said that when he played, you know, especially in the one goalie era when there wasn't a backup, he said when things weren't going his way, he had nobody to talk to, absolutely no one. There was no other goalie around. There was no coach. You know, goalies didn't go into coaching in those days. So there was no coach you could talk to about goaltending. So you really had to kind of figure it out on your own. And I think, you know, goaltending is, so much of it is mental. It's just, if your confidence is gone, it doesn't matter how talented you are, because you have to believe you're going to stop every shot. And once that belief system is fractured, you need someone there to help you fix it. Like a guy as great as Marty Brodeur was, he began every day by doing the basic, simple fundamentals in his goal crease, the movements that, you know, you learn from when you start playing goal. That was the beginning of the day every day, because you can't, you know, you have to have that foundation.
Well,
if you don't have someone to help you build that foundation, you've got a problem.
No question about it. The guy, speak of goaltending coaches, Jacques Caron, of course, who I spent a lot, I'll never forget it, because the broadcast booth in New Jersey was in the seats, Bob, and Jacques Caron was the goaltending coach through the heyday years of New Jersey when I was there, and we're winning cups and challenging for others. And Jacques used to come up and watch warm-up of both teams from about 2 feet from where I was standing, and I loved talking goaltending with him. You know, besides in the crease work, another thing that Jack got Marty doing was breathing exercises, and, you know, basically getting him out of a panic mode when things started going haywire a little bit. Hey, I'll leave you with a story. I don't know if my listeners will appreciate this, but Gump Worsley, when I was in Kalamazoo years ago, the Minnesota North Stars, we were the number one affiliation of the North Stars for a couple of years in the old IHL. Glenn Sumner and Lou Nanny and Murray Oliver, saw a lot of those guys over the year. I think Pierre Paget was the coach at that time. But Gump Worsley was their goaltender at the time, consultant. Our goaltender in Kalamazoo was John Casey, and I'll never forget it. You know, growing up watching Hockey Night in Canada, the great Montreal-Toronto matchups. So they would fly Gump in from Montreal about once a month, maybe for a week. And he would work in a homestand with the gold. Mike Sands was another guy that was there at the time. And I'll never forget it, being in awe of this when I was still a minor leaguer, basically, and a young guy, was after practice. I think I told you this story. Gump Worsley would walk straight into my office at Wing Stadium in Kalamazoo and say, "Mike, run me over to Myers." He loved the place. He never saw anything like it. He was so shocked. You could buy a pair of pants you know, some oil and some potato chips in the same store. Just absolutely shocking. I'll never forget it. It was just great. I'm riding down the street in Kalamazoo with Gump Worsley going, this guy wants to go to Myers. This is a thrill for him. So, hey, did I miss anything here? Anything else going on before we talk about the book and let you go that going on in the hockey world, Bob Duff, that you think's of importance?
Well, I do have another book out, too, that we could talk about. It's called The First Season, and as the title suggests, it's about the very first season of the NHL back in 1917-18, how it came to be and all the machinations that went on during that year and how close it came to not being a second season.
Now, let me see. I'm gonna basically try to jog. Was the first Stanley Cup, was it the Millionaires?
It was the Toronto Hockey Club, mistakenly referred to as the Arenas by everyone. They weren't the Arenas till the following season.
Got it.
And the Vancouver Millionaires, who were the champions of the Pacific Coast Association. Those two leagues would meet for the Stanley Cup every year. So, you know, decades before other North American sports had West Coast teams, hockey had it at the turn of the century.
Listen, Robert, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. Great having you on. Again, the two books, number one, If These Walls Could Talk, Bob Duff, Ken Daniels, great holiday gift. And one more time, The First Year of the NHL by Bob Duff as well. All the normal places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, go online, you can find them. Great hearing your voice, Bob. Tell everybody hello, and somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again.
All righty, Mike. Sounds good.
Bob Duff, a longtime hockey author. I don't know. He's probably got 25 books out, a long time. A writer for the Windsor Star, covered the Red Wings, and sounds like a winner here. If These Walls Can Talk, Bob Duff and Ken Daniels, play-by-play voice of the Red Wings. All right, everybody. My name's Mike Miller. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show, coming to you from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter. Very popular Learn to Play program going on down below us. Visit tamohockey.com. January the 17th is session number 2, and also the Learn to Skate USA 2017-18 sessions coming up after the first of the year. Visit tamoskating.com. Mike Miller coming to you from the loft. Matt Crandall right around the corner.
Off the Hockey Show with Mike Miller from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Program going full scale right down below us. Bob Duff joined us, a longtime author, has written about 35 books on hockey, has a book out now, If These Walls Could Talk. Bob Duff and the television voice of the Red Wings, Ken Daniels. That book is out. Great gift idea, by the way. Started the night from Dallas. Rod Beard joined us. A little preview of the Pistons tonight, taking on the Dallas Mavericks. That was on Drive Time. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody. From a jam-packed loft restaurant. Well, you want to know about high school hockey in this town. I think there's only one guy. There might be a few out there, but I think at the top of the list, Matt Crandall joins us on the phone, the Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mike, good to talk to you. I'm doing very well. I didn't realize I was supposed to be pushing a book. My book's not quite out yet today, so... We'll just talk high school hockey. How's that sound?
No, very, very good. Listen, Bob Duff's been a great contributor to this show for many years, whether he's pushing a book or not pushing a book. But I got to tell you, you could go on. And listen, you love the game.
I love it. It's been a great show. I've been listening, but I'm like, oh, maybe I should have written a book.
Well, you'd probably have a few stories. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of stories, Matt, as well, 2017-18 season in the Northwest Hockey Conference right around the corner. A couple games have been played. A lot of teams playing in tournaments. Usually that gets underway around Thanksgiving as well. But, I mean, you look at the Red Division and St. Francis and Northview and St. John's, Findlay and Bowling Green, same cast of characters. Saw the story in the Blade, saw one of your shows as well. I guess most folks would think chasing St. Francis.
Everybody's chasing St. Francis right now. And, yeah, I'm looking at the standing. It's a lot of the same. Bowling Green finished second last year. They've got off to a rough start. They're 0-3 right now. But you're right. St. Francis is the team to beat right now in the Northwest Hockey Conference in the Red Division. They're the cream of the crop again.
Tell me a little bit about anybody else in Northview. I know just got a text from you. It said, full disclosure, congratulations. That's a great thing. You have a son and a daughter playing for Northview. That is a wonderful little holiday story here. Congratulations for that. And the son's one thing. A daughter's another thing. And girls' hockey, women's hockey is growing by leaps and bounds. And a lot of girls playing with the men as well. It's just been an unbelievable renaissance in a sport at every level and every gender.
It has been. And it's my kids have played hockey for a long time. My daughter, Maisie's a senior. My son, David, he's a freshman. So this is the first year they've ever been on the same team. So my wife and I are really enjoying it. And Northview's enjoying a good year, too. They finished third last year behind St. Francis and Bowling Green. Right now, they're 2-1, so they're playing pretty well. But more importantly than the 2-1 record in the Northwest Hockey Conference, the Ohio State Coaches Poll came out yesterday, and Northview was in fifth in the coaches poll. And no surprise, St. Francis was second. The two-time defending state champion, St. Ignatius, they were first. So two Northwest Conference red teams in the top five. Very good showing here for Northwest Ohio.
Hey, Matt Crandall joins us here in Face Off, the hockey show. We're in our 18th year. Tell me a little bit about the National Division and Perrysburg and Clay, Anthony Wayne, Southview and Maumee. My old alma mater, Whitmer, by the way. Anything that stands out in the National Division?
Oh, that's where things get really exciting. Because last year, we know in the National, Anthony Wayne was 11-0. They didn't get beat. The only team that Clay lost to was Anthony Wayne. They were 9-2. So Anthony Wayne's already got a hiccup. They lost to Southview in an overtime game. But, so they're 3-1. But they beat an undefeated 4-0 Perrysburg team to give them their only blemish. So now Perrysburg's 4-1, but Anthony Wayne handled them pretty good, 6-1. So I think Clay is kind of chomped at the bit. They're 3-0, and they're waiting to get a little piece of Perrysburg or Anthony Wayne. So the National Division of the Northwest Hockey Conference, that's where things get interesting. And, Mike, I hate to tell you, Whitmer's rebuilding a little bit this year, and your alma mater, the Panthers, they're 0-3 right now. But the good news is in the Battle of the Panthers, when they get together with Maumee, they're also 0-3. So I'm assuming someone's going to get a win that game, even though it could tie. It could go 8 minutes of overtime and tie that game.
I'm going to have to get
thinking,
over.
I'm thinking one of them's going to get a win, though.
I'm going to go over on Clegg Drive over there in Whitmer and maybe have a little look-see myself, by the way. Again, Matt Crandall joins us here in Face Off, the hockey show, coming to you from the Loft restaurant, the Learn to Play program going on right down below us. The old Northview coach, I can see Jonesy down there putting the youngsters through the paces as well. Tell me a little bit, and I've asked this question for years, but I think, again, 18 years with this show, Matt, and I think the last 10 here from the Loft restaurant, just watching American-born kids from this area play the game, and it's grown by leaps and bounds to the point where it's almost astonishing.
Yeah, it really is. And the problem, we've been talking about Northwest Hockey Conference action. You know this. A lot of the real talented kids around here, they're playing up north. They're playing AAA. They're playing up out of Detroit. No one could blame them. But the St. Francis's, the St. John's, the Northview's, the Southview's, the Anthony Wayne's, they would all be so much better if these travel kids would play there. But, you know, they're looking at bigger and better things, and no one blames them for it. But you're right. This area is producing some really, really talented players.
Give me some names, Matt, if you could. A couple of forwards, a couple of D-men, and a couple of goaltenders we should keep an eye on this year.
Well, Mitchell Miller, he's a great kid. He played for the United States U-16 at the Five Nations Cup over in the Czech Republic earlier this year. And he plays for Honeybig U-16. He's a great kid. It's actually his birthday today, so happy birthday to Mitchell Miller. A late hockey birthday, terrible birthday for him, but very talented player. Cedar Rapids in the USHL. He's got a couple of games with them in already this year, and I think they want him to come up for the balance of the season. I'm not sure exactly what Mitchell's going to do with that. But another kid I like goes to Anthony Wayne, Ben Schoen. He's leading Little Caesars, Chris Draper's AAA team up there. He is a real player. So those guys, Gabe Bennett's a kid out of Finley. He's also playing for Chris Draper's Little Caesars U15 AAA team. Tanner Dickinson's a great player. He's playing up there. He's playing U16 AAA. So a lot of great young players from around here are doing great things.
Hey, now, those guys that are playing for Draper and playing, how about the high school guys you think, Matt Crandall, that we should keep an eye on that will stick their year with their high school teams?
Well, like Ben Mitchell was very accomplished, and he came out of the Little Caesars program. He's a senior for St. Francis this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and tries to do something at this. I know he's come back and enjoyed playing for St. Francis. They got a couple of guys, Gabe Barrow and his cousin Matt Barrow. They're used to the AAA game up there, so there's some big, strong high school guys that could do something. St. Francis right now, they're missing their best defenseman and possibly the best defenseman in the Northwest Conference, Timmy Organ. So he's out right now, sick, but they have some guys right there that, you know, next year could certainly jump into the junior program and, you know, do something like Brendan Furry did for St. Francis, and Warren Adishak trying to continue his career. So there's opportunities available for you after high school. You just got to be able to stick with it.
Matt, listen, thanks for taking the time. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you. Have a good year with you and your family and all your travels of, you know, being involved in this great sport of ours. And thanks for coming on.
Mike, thanks for having me on Face Off again. Hopefully we'll get together here at the end of the season.
Yeah, let's do a little update here, and let's say middle of January, just to see what you've seen and what you have observed. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Have Jim penciled in. We'll talk to you later.
Very good. That's Matt Crandall here on Face Off, the Hockey Show. Back to close it out after this. This is Face Off coming to you from the Loft Restaurant.